So I would like to welcome you all to my very first talk using the word God when talking about the universal spirit. For I'm sure many of you can relate, the word God did not contain a very positive message for me growing up. So I stayed away from it. I didn't care for it. It was a word that did not bring to my mind peace and love. It brought fear and judgment. So recently I spent some time with my brother Jack. He's my younger brother. His son Zach was to be married on September 23rd. Instead, we found ourselves at the hospital and they discovered tumors on his spine. Now, he's a very young man, he's 27. So he's in the hospital, it's his birthday, we have to cancel a wedding. This was not quite what we had envisioned. But I have to tell you, this experience turned into one of the most wonderful gifts I could have asked for as his aunt. I spent a lot of time with him by his bedside as we waited for either answers from tests or pain medication or the different things that a hospital brings, right? It's good to have someone sitting by your bedside that loves you. And we would start talking. And we talked about God's fingerprints, about how if we really looked, we could see God's fingerprints on every part of this experience. Zach's ability to look at this situation straight on for what it was and keep his sense of humor truly was in part because of his faith in God. Now, he uses the word God very freely. And every time he used the word, I had a small reaction to it. But as I listened to him talk, I realized that our views were much more the same than they were different. The word God did not evoke in him the same reaction it did in me at all. And I have to tell you, at one point when he looked at me with such a sense of awe and said, "How could anyone not believe in God now, after watching how this journey unfolded?" And so I found for myself, sensing the love of spirit as God, it fell tenderly now into place for me, instead of a place of less positive feelings. I will always be grateful for that. So now I can freely use the word God when I am talking about love. No longer does fear belong attached to God, as I found that my belief system truly is one and the same as everyone who truly has come to love God. His faith, it's so simple and it's so touching, and it was such a pleasure to be around. What I learned was that all of our belief systems may vary, and they may all include different truths. But yet, once we bring our focus to the experience without judgment or fear, we all begin to see God's fingerprints throughout our lives. Almost a quiet and subtle roadmap, really. And as my family experienced this event that was not a wedding, we really were truly able to give thanks for the way that Zach received good care, positive news. The tumors are not cancerous, and while they cannot be removed, they're hoping this is something he can comfortably learn to live with. And although Zachary has many tougher challenges he has yet to face, that somehow, by searching for the fingerprints, we will be able to clearly see the steps needed to be taken. And by coming together in the spirit of love and family, all the challenges ahead of us can be faced because they're done so in love. And in reality, they've already been healed. Because perhaps when things are falling apart, this is a kind of testing, but it's also a kind of healing. We think that the point is to pass the test, to overcome the problem. But the truth is, maybe things aren't meant to be solved. Maybe we're simply coming together, and then we're falling apart. And then we come together again, and we fall apart again. And it's just like that. The healing comes from letting there be room for all of this to happen. Room for grief, room for relief, for misery, for fear, but most of all for joy. Perhaps this clarity is just a matter of becoming intimate with fear rather than treating it as a problem. It's not actually a problem to be solved at all. Maybe it's just a tool which we can use to dismantle our old familiar structures of being. A complete undoing, if you will, of the old ways of seeing and hearing, smelling, tasting, and thinking. Boy, that would sure change our concept of fear, wouldn't it? If we viewed it as an opportunity to change into the new way that we would like to believe, that we would like to act, that we would like to be. That fear is just gently prompting us into a new place. Perhaps we should note that bravery is not the absence of fear, but the intimacy with fear. That faith that this too shall pass and lead us to a new place of understanding and into a new place of the world. And if ever there was a time to be alive and use fear to prompt us to be in a better place, I would say it might be now. So I carry with me this vision of my fingerprints everywhere I go. For since I so strongly believe that I am God and you are God and God exists on all levels at all times, of course, my fingerprints are God's fingerprints. And so every day I would bring my fingerprints into this room where Zach lay. And I would touch him. I would touch my brother. I would touch his house. I would touch the meals I was preparing. Everything I was doing, I saw as God's fingerprints. I felt it bring a healing presence. I felt it bring comfort to myself as well. And while this journey has truly just begun for us as a family, we will be remembering to seek out God's fingerprints and to truly make sure that our fingerprints are in the same direction of love and healing, not just for Zach, but in the places that only we can touch and leave a shadow to aid in this journey we are all walking. Because our fingerprints are all quite unique. So, of course, our fingerprints can only leave behind the special gifts we came to bring to leave behind by our touch. So you notice I also use tears in this title. Odd kind of blending, isn't it? Fingerprints and tears. But yet, I found that tears flowed as well during this time. So we shared tears of joy, of course, but we shared real tears of fear, of blessings, of hope. But they all needed to be shed. They needed to be shared. So why do we cry? And what are our tears? Are they simply water? Well, as simple as water can be, right? For water is essential to life. Water is cleansing, purifying, sustaining, truly essential to life. Remember that study that people did on water and how when water was exposed to different things, it was photographed differently. How fascinating, really. I still will always think of that study often about how when water was exposed to loud music, it didn't look very happy. But yet when it was exposed to peaceful, loving thoughts, it was beautiful. The droplet of water turned into a real thing of beauty. Amazing, wasn't it, to see emotions? Oh, dear. Will you just pick up my purse, please, Douglas? Thank you. Well, that's interesting because there's water on the floor. Okay. So there was no problem. Everything's all good. So in the study that was done on tears, that I recently found, it was also shown that the emotion that was attached to the tears also dictated the very composition of the tear itself, much as when water was exposed to different thoughts. So once again, the tears that we shed when we were upset looked much different than the tears we shed from joy. Well, basically, tears are just made of water, proteins, minerals, hormones, and enzymes. But shall we think about, really, for a moment, what our tears represent? Perhaps our tears are one of our most primal languages. As unrelenting as death, and yet as basic as hunger, as complex as the rites of passage, it is though each one of our tears carries a microcosm of our entire collective human experience, like one drop of an ocean. Perhaps this flow is proof that we cannot put our thoughts in a separate place from our emotions and thoughts. And sharing tears along with fingerprints may truly be part of the purpose we're here. For just as water changes dependent on the emotions surrounding it, so our tears reflect what we're feeling. Through our tears, we give people a sense of togetherness. We give them a sense that it's okay to cry together, to share in this moment. When we see tears, what is our first natural reaction? That's right, to cry too, to reach out and touch with our fingerprints, with our hugs, with our love. So perhaps our tears truly are just for us to learn how to reach out and touch and love. And perhaps our tears leave behind blessings as well. For perhaps we do not set out to save the world. We simply set out to wonder how other people are doing and to reflect on how our actions affect other people's hearts. Every one of us is endowed with the singular gift of paying attention, that remarkable, focused convergence of all of our senses, our intellect, and our feelings. And so it's really appropriate to me that we call it paying attention, for perhaps it's a near universal form of currency. And I appreciate your attention that you are giving me. I stand in true gratitude of being able to be with you in this moment. It is exchangeable, it is valuable, and it incurs an expense on the part of the payer. For attention, as we all know too well, seems to be kind of a limited resource right now. So imagine if we viewed attention as a currency, the gift that you are giving to me, the gift we can offer each other of paying attention. So here's an interesting thought. Both listen and silent have the same letters in the word. And they're both very important components of paying attention. We've always been told that our bodies have five senses. Of course, touch, smell, taste, sight, and hearing. But I would like to ask today that we expand our vocabulary to include that our senses now include fingerprints and tears. And of course, not to be overlooked, are the senses of our souls: intuition, peace, foresight, trust, and empathy. Dear loving God of all, grant us strength when we feel small. Grant us faith when we lose sight. Grant us hope when all seems lost. Grant us grace in the morning light. Grant us appreciation for all that life holds. And so it is, and so it always will be. Thank you.